whom comes every gift. We come in your name to rededicate this place of worship to your glory and to bring you thanks for the abundant showering of your gifts upon us, which has made this day possible. We thank you for this place, for this beautiful mountain valley, this community of your saints, and for this place of worship, all of which we have received as a gift of your hand. Jesus Christ, our brother, in whose name we gather, and in whom we are all united as one body in your church universal, we thank you tonight for the gift of communion together in this place of worship, where in your name, this once abandoned gymnasium has become a place of beauty and celebration. We are thankful for the Holden community of this past year, summer and fall, winter, spring, and summer, in which this place of worship has blossomed with new beauty and possibilities. We are mindful of the many individuals who have, through their personal gifts, made this place possible in its present form, and have given life and beauty to the village, of which this place is the center. We are thankful tonight for possibilities realized through the dreams, talents, and labors of the members of this community, for dreams materialized into new circuits, new sounds, new colors, and new images, growing out of the lives of your people here, students and singers, artists and athletes, dancers and dreamers, proclaimers and performers, craftsmen and caterers, laughers and lovers, servers and celebrants all in the bounty of your grace. For each and for all, we bring our thanks tonight as we dedicate this place anew to the glory of your name and the celebration of your presence. Spirit of God among us, enter powerfully into the life of every worshiper in this place. Come with peace and joy into each troubled heart, and with your guidance and inspiration into the heart of each eager proclaimer of your gospel. Let all who have a part in the programming of this place be instruments of your will, proclaiming your word with power and beauty. And may every man, woman, and child who comes to this place come truly into the presence of God and go out from this place radiant with the gifts of your grace. To the glory of God forever, amen.
Hear a reading from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Here ends the reading. For the next few minutes, I'm going to tell you all that I know about how the world looks. That will only take a few minutes. If I took buckskin, that picture of buckskin, which for the past week you have all been calling a volcano, and I took it into the middle of Uganda, they would know it was a mountain. If I showed it to young people, if I showed it to old people, they would say, that is a mountain. Those of you from Hawaii call it a volcano. But it is a mountain, nevertheless. There is a universal understanding of what that sign means. For those of us that went to Buckskin to rescue a friend not long ago, there is no other mountain like that in the entire world. We know rocks. We know snow-shaped stars. We see little red flags at the top of that mountain, and that mountain is ours. And so at one and the same time, the reality of that image is both universal and very specific. To paint a tree is no big deal. Everyone from birth not only knows how to paint a tree, but does. It's a big green ball on top of a brown stick. To paint a tree is simple. To know a tree is complex. That tree starts from scratch every year, 99% of all of its living parts, and can raise water 150 feet from the ground in less than an hour. That's complicated. And so any view of tree can be both simple and complex. Those of us that are preparing to leave in a couple of days are already preparing to come back. In the preparation for coming back, we have a hope, an assumption that the place will be here when we return, that certain people will be here waiting at the bus for us, that certain jobs will be there for us to do. There is, in what we see and in what we know, a kind of constancy. And yet, for all of you who have arrived, this is not the place you left. It will never be this evening again. It will never be this afternoon again. It will never be this year again. The combinations of places, of people, of events, of who you are and of who we are next to you will never be the same. And so the view of what goes on around us is at the same time constant and changing. Thank God for order. It would be frightening if there were no order. And we can look at the saddle. We can watch Orion climb that hill and marvel at the wonderful order that God gives to us. I marvel at it continually. If you would look at those snowflakes above me, you would realize that not one single one of them is entitled to be a legitimate snowflake. They are all eight-sided, except one six-sided thing that is so out of symmetry that it never would make it to the ground. We wonder at the order of things, even when they are piled up 100 inches in front of the bell. And yet, let's face it, in all of creation, in all of the gifts that have been bestowed upon us from year to year, from history to history, one has to look at it and say, my God, how has it managed to last this long? Whole galaxies in collision. Everything that we know about what is true about the world around us, of all of that that we know, 75% of it we've uncovered in the last 50 years. And while we were busy uncovering all of that truth, 800 species of living things have left us never to return again. That's chaotic. Would you really have trouble believing in God if there were one less star? How many of us are there? 450, 500 of us here. If we each had just one star all to ourselves, just a cluster of 500 stars, surely that would be enough. Flowers. Oh, God, the flowers. Aren't there too many? There are flowers out there, I am sure, that nobody will ever see. And yet Ernie insists we can't even pick one. Isn't it too crowded? One tree, one measly great tree each year grows 6 million leaves. How many leaves do we need? God, that is absurd. 6 million leaves for one tree, and how many trees, and how many needles, how many stars, how many flowers? God, slow down. That is ridiculous. We can't take it in. If we were to plan it the way we wanted, we'd have just enough to go around, and maybe just enough people to go around. When things get crowded, let's have a flood. And say, God, thank you for relieving the famine. Let's have an earthquake and wipe out some Chinese. Let's have a war and wipe out everybody. It's just too jam-packed, and God's creation is out of joint. We have choices continually. Such choices we have to make, whether this earth is simple or complex, whether it is in order or in chaos. Lot more choices to make. Is all of this great, great muchness just for us? We sent some little gizmo to Mars to scratch around in the dust and the rocks, to get all excited about whether there was something reasonably like us somewhere else. And it's hard to know whether to get excited about there being nothing there or there being something there. If there is nothing there, then all of this is ours. If there is something there, what is it? And so we wonder how much of all of this muchness is really ours. And at the same time, we just have to admit the earth is the Lord's. I mean, the whole geshmush is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I have a hard time understanding fullness. I don't know what fullness means, except I got a hunch it is more than mountains and stars and leaves and flowers and trees, that when we talk about the fullness thereof, we are talking about us. We are talking about you and me. We can't say fullness without talking about people. And God said, "Fear not, I have called you by name. You will be called oaks of righteousness and planting of the Lord." What for? What for? That he may be glorified. I guess that's the reason for the whole creation story, although even from a child I thought of it as being some kind of ego binge. 5 days of creating all of that stuff, all of it, having a good time, separating this from that, causing light to happen, causing little gazelles to jump up and down, causing squiggly things to go through the water, all of that happening. And when it was done, somehow it not being enough, who is going to say, "God is good"? And so he creates us. And we look up and we say, sure enough, there must be a God. That does not make sense to me, people. The creation story has got to say more about us. Creation is, in many ways, absurd. So mountains and flowers and trees and all of the muchness and absurdity and beauty and fantastic never-endingness of that is still not going to add up to fullness. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, made to redeem us who were under the law. And from that incredible fullness, everything else has been made fuller. And everything else has been made absurder. Stars stop over crummy little mangers. God is made flesh and sits in a cattle feed box. Water is turned into wine. Deaf people can hear, dumb people can speak, blind people can see, dead people are walking around among us. The King of creation is saying, don't look to the hills, your help is coming from me, who made heaven and earth, and who made wood to die on. The King of creation dies on a piece of wood that he made himself, and all for why? That the Father might be glorified. One other thing, which is probably more absurd than all the rest. You and I have now become the glorifiers. So that people walking around right next to us will look at us and say, that's what God has in mind for his creation. That's what God looks like on this earth. And the butterfly becomes new life. And the fish becomes the church. And the burning bird becomes resurrection, all out of a red egg. But the miracle of it all is that people will, they have just got to be able to look at us and see what God has in mind for his creation. The Lord came to Jeremiah saying, oh, listen to this. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And I say to God, I have made a 95 by 55 foot mistake. But I have with loving kindness drawn thee. And we will sing and sing and sing forever and ever and ever, and we will paint and paint and paint forever and ever and ever until we have no need for temples, because Christ will be our temple. We will have no need of north light or sun or moon or stars, for Christ himself will be our light and our all in all. Oh, my brothers and sisters under the ceiling, things are looking up. Amen and oh yes.